Hello, and happy Easter, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me this evening or this morning, whatever time it is where you are. And so I was reflecting a little bit on the meaning of Easter, the meaning of the resurrection. In fact, my 16-year-old daughter came to me and she said, "Dad, I was reading the Bible this morning, and she found herself quite confused about what it was that actually happened, who this man called us." And so I tried to explain to her different stories about Jesus. What a great man he was, and this and that. And I realized that I wasn't getting through to her. I realized that my experience of Christ was not really about a man and a story. It wasn't a book that I had to leave in. The experience of Christ is felt, is received. And so I invite you to join me this action, this willingness just to close your eyes and to go inward and to connect with the truth of Christ. Open your hearts, open your minds, open your experience to what's here right now. This is a very powerful day. All the days around Easter are powerful, quite filled with light. And so I invite you to join me in opening to this light, and opening and calling upon Jesus and saying, "Lord, you come into me. Will you show me who you are? Will you bless me with your spirit, with your love?" With the hugeness of your own consciousness, will you join me? And so it's a beautiful thing to open in this way. I invite you just to close your eyes and just sit here in an open-hearted and receptive way. To let go of your day, your week, the weekend. To open your crown chakra and imagine God coming in, this grace coming in from above. Open your hearts to this moment, to the discovery of what this thing is, this thing called grace. Open your hearts to the experience of God. Experience of the Christ giving birth in you. And so as we open in this way, you may just begin to gently feel a fluidity of light coming down through the crown chakra into the space of the third eye, letting go of any thoughts. Just allowing ourselves to commune with this silence, the silence of a Sunday evening, this incredible cosmic silence, which is always here, always present. We're relaxing. relaxing the throat chakra, the jaw, the neck, the shoulders, and inviting this channel of grace to come down into us, to come into the very space of the heart. So we're relaxing the chest, we're opening the heart, and just inviting this sense of love, this sense of light to come into you. Inviting the wholeness, the fullness of your nature to wake up, to awaken to this grace. Relaxing your solar plexus, your lower belly, your hara. Taking deep, full breaths and inviting God into you. Inviting the Holy Spirit to come here this very day and show you. Show you her truth. Show you his love. So we're relaxing the pelvic floor, the arms, the hands, the legs, the feet. And just gently inviting this grace to come down into us, to flow through us. We're noticing these very, very subtle energies coming alive within us, opening to a very gentle sense of brilliance, a very gentle sense of love. And we're simply saying yes. Yes to that which is holy. Yes to that which is beautiful. We are saying yes to the hugeness of our own true nature, as well as to the hugeness of God, the Christ coming into us and showing us firsthand what he is, what she is. So we're just letting go, surrendering that which is untrue, surrendering that which is false, surrendering that which is confused, surrendering our struggles and any feeling of being afflicted. We're saying, Lord, you take this. You take this weight from me. For I want to open. I want to be holy. I want to receive your grace. Receive your love. Receive your beauty and divinity. And so we're simply opening and letting go. Letting go of anything which is in the way. Any mental or emotional or even physical pain. And we're saying, Lord, you take this. I've carried this cross too long. And all the while we're being quiet. We're going inward. And we are quietly being receptive. Quietly opening and experiencing. Again, if there's any thoughts, you just let them come and you let them go. Any emotions or heaviness, we hand them back to life. Any struggle, we give it to God. And simultaneously, through that process of letting go, we are also opening and receiving. Receiving this bounty of love. Receiving the Christ, the cosmic Christ, the ever-present experience of vast spacious peace, eternal love and wonder, the experience of bliss in every direction. The experience of truth and dignity. And so we are opening to this brilliance. We are saying yes. Yes to that which is greater than our normal everyday human mind. Yes. Yes to the Christ, right here, right now, saying, Lord, you show me who you are. You show me your abundance, your glory, your majesty. And so your job is only to be open, to be receptive. To let go of doubt and step into the direct experience right here, right now, of the fullness of your nature, the fullness of Christ coming into you as you. And so we're just breathing in and breathing out, simply receiving. Simply saying yes. Watching the body light up. Experiencing the fullness of ourself from head to toe. Experiencing this light in the most humble of places. This very human body, this human mind. Feeling God's grace all the way in the depths of your soles of your feet, your calves, your shins, your knees, your thighs, your pelvis, your hara, the solar plexus, the heart. Space of the throat, the spine, the back, the space of the third eye, the crown chakra. Everything is awake and alive and receptive. And so will you join me in this experience of the Christ? Not Jesus a story, but rather Christ the experience. In you, as you, right here, right now. Right here, right now. Is it possible for you to open, for you to receive? For you to experience this overwhelming glory and divinity, which wants nothing more than to come into you, to flood you with grace, to flood you with light, to flood you with joy. So much is possible if you're simply willing to open. Simply willing to receive. Simply willing to say yes. Yes to this moment, to this ever-present reality. Eternally wanting to be born in you, as you. What's actually possible when you open, when you let go of what you think you know, and simply receive? So can you allow the Holy Ghost to be born into your heart in this moment? Can you allow this chorus of angels to come here this moment and bless you? Can you allow God's grace to touch your very soul, to enliven and to awaken it? Will you join me in this experience of love? How fortunate we are this day to open, to awaken, to receive this bounty. And so, yes, we're opening, breathing, receiving, and simply experiencing. Experiencing this overwhelming grace of Christ the Lord, the archangels and angels, God above, and yes, the hugeness of your own true nature, of your own divinity, your highest in God's grace. Communing as one. This is a beautiful way to sit together, a beautiful way to come together this Holy Easter. And so I encourage you to sit, to open, to continue to receive. As I shift out of the meditation, we don't have to leave our direct experience. We can continue receiving, continue being receptive, continue opening our hearts to that which is good, true, and beautiful. I will tell you, in my own personal life, if there's ever a moment when my heart is not open to God, my heart is not open to Christ, to the truth, then I correct myself immediately. For it is such a pain to live in separation. It's such suffering to live outside the realm of God, to live in the small and arrogant, egoic nature. And it's so wonderful, so incredible just to open and say yes, yes to God, yes to life. So it's a funny question, you know, my daughter was, you know, she asked me today, she said, "Well, how do you know it's true, the Bible? All those stories, all those people." And to be honest, I don't care. I don't care about the stories. I care about the direct experience. And so the way I discovered Jesus was simply through opening my heart and calling upon him and saying, Lord, are you here with me? Show your face to me. And instead of, you know, meaning that literally and seeing some, you know, Christ-like face in the clouds, I felt his love in my heart. Even as a little child, I felt his love in my heart. And so from then on, I always had this very individual, very personal experience of God. And I encourage you all to have the same. I encourage you all to have the same, not to have a God who's based in philosophy or dogma, but to have a God who's based in the experience, the direct experience of grace. And there's so much grace that's available to us. There's this heavenly grace, the Christ-like consciousness, the cosmic Christ, that feels very heavenly, very holy, almost otherworldly. But there's also this Zen-like experience of opening to our true nature, where we feel the vast, spacious presence of our own nature, right here, right now, a vast, spacious presence. We don't need to go anywhere. We don't need to call upon anyone. We don't need to wait and see if, you know, God's coming into us. We just simply open and receive our own nature. But in order to receive the beauty and the dignity, the peacefulness of your own nature, you have to surrender. You have to be willing to surrender your mind. I was listening to Richard Rohr speak earlier today about, you know, about what Easter means, the true meaning of Easter. And it was showing, you know, Christ's ultimate act of surrender, an ultimate act of just letting go, of letting go of that which is untrue, that which is false, that which is confused, that which is lost. You know, how many of us have felt lost in this world? And so we're letting go of those aspects of ourself. We're surrendering the lower and opening into the higher. So if we truly want to know Christ, if we want to know our Christ consciousness, ourselves as Christ consciousness, we have to be willing to surrender anything within us which is confused, which is lost, which is struggling, which is afflicted, which is addicted, or whatever it is. We just have to be willing to say no to that, but simultaneously to say yes. Yes to that which is true, that which is good. And we can read the New Testament. We can discover the teachings of Christ. But the true way of reading the New Testament is reading it with your heart. You read a verse and you deeply contemplate it. Not whether you contemplate whether it's true or not, but you're contemplating the teaching that's being brought forward. You're saying, how does this relate to my life? How does this relate to my life? How can I open in this way? How can I receive the transmission from Christ like the disciples did? How can I receive in this way? You know, one of the things that I always did on the spiritual path is I was fortunate. I had very great teachers. And I always moved myself right up to the front of the line with my teachers. I wanted to be close to them. I wanted to be next to the bonfire. I wanted to be right there in the front row. Because I wanted to experience the transmission directly. But of course, if we want to be If we want to be close with our teachers, if we want to be close with the Dharma, we have to be willing to be seen, to be heard. There's many people on the spiritual path I've noticed that are hiding. They hide from their teacher, not wanting to be seen. They sit in the back row. They hide their shadow. And they sit, you know, stricken with guilt. But if you want to let go of guilt, if you want to heal your shadow, you must be willing to expose it. You must be willing to shine the light of awareness into that which is untrue, that which is unholy, that which is less than. So whatever it is that you're afflicted with can be released from your consciousness. So it can be healed and transformed and brought into the light. And so it takes someone who's courageous to come into the light. You know, like all Jesus' disciples, you know, when the moment came, when he was to be put on the cross, you know, they all fled, they all took off. And you can't blame them, you know, because, you know, they probably would have been persecuted as well. But I think the women in his life, they stuck around and they stood by his side. All the men, they took off and ran away. And so we want to be like the courageous woman. Women who stayed by his side, who nursed his wounds, who took care of him, who said, Master, I am here with you. See, they wanted to stay. They wanted to stand in the truth with him. And so if we truly want to be awake in this world, if we truly want to open to our highest nature, we must be willing to say yes, even when things are difficult. We must be willing to be seen. Now, there's this young man who's been on the news a lot recently. And I wish I could remember his name so that I could properly honor him. But he started the, you know, whatever it's called, the anti-gun movement, or the March for Our Lives movement, a movement to help bring peace and have more background checks for, you know, people buying guns in the United States, to get rid of assault rifles and this type of thing, or make it harder for mentally ill individuals to purchase. But I've seen him a bunch in the news recently, and people have been throwing rocks at him, making fun of him, belittling him. He's a young kid. I mean, he's probably only 18 or 17 years old, giving all these great talks on national news and in front of huge crowds. You know, he has this fire within him, this willingness to say yes. You know, some of his friends are probably hanging out at home just playing video games, and he's busy putting on a suit and tie and getting these great talks, going from network to network, and it's a beautiful thing. And people are tearing him up, you know, the people who disagree with his beliefs. But we can learn a lot from an individual like this, an individual who's willing to stand in the fire and to say, yes, I will work for peace, I will work for change. And so if we want to know Christ, if we want to know the truth, we have to be willing to look at our own fears, our own hopes, our desires, and let go of that which is untrue and step into that which is true. That which is true. And so I welcome any questions. If anyone has any questions, please bring them forward, and I'll also look at the emails I got this week. But let's see what Jay has to say here. Healing is peace within, even if there There are no laws changed. Yes, it all starts with healing and bringing peace within ourselves. And the more, you know, the more of us who are willing to step forward into the light, who are willing to heal our own shadows, our own anger, our own sadness, that creates healing throughout our planet. That creates a transformation within the collective consciousness. That creates great change in our world, great change. Now I can say that, you know, as someone who's worked with in the past with the mentally ill and someone who lives in a state where it's quite easy to purchase firearms, I know that it would probably be, it'd probably serve us if we had a little bit more, if we had stricter background checks. You know, in the state I live in, you can walk into a store and buy a gun in about 10 minutes and walk out. And so, you know, I also live in a state where there's been, you know, the first, you know, school shooting and many terrible shootings ever since that, whenever that was, 20-something years again. So I'm a big fan of more laws and greater background checks. And so there's things we can do in the outer world. But, you know, each day, I know I send out the petitions and, you know, it's, you know, make the phone calls to my congressmen. But like Jay is saying, we can all discover peace within us. And it's important that we start our day with discovering this peace, stepping into this peace, and allowing this peace to shine out from our hearts, from our consciousness. This is how true change happens. You know, if we're going to wait for the government to change, we may wait for a long period of time, a long period of time. So anyways, along that line, I received a question from Laurent, and I hope I said your name right. I think he's from France, but he's living in Australia right now. And he was struggling with something, with the subject of anger, you know, something that very many people have struggled with in the past. You know, even Christ himself had many, many moments of anger, many moments of anger that came forward in his own consciousness. He says, Craig, I want to have your perspective on anger. A couple months ago, This is kind of funny, you know, what he's writing, but I'm going to read it. But a couple months ago, I discovered the men's right movement, and I guess it's the anti-feminism, and I resonated with it a lot. Over the next weeks, I kept binge watching these different speakers on the topic, and I felt a stronger and stronger sense of resentment towards women. Well, I imagine that would probably happen. I don't know, but nowadays anger seems to consume me. At moments, I find myself hating women. At moments, I hate people around me. And at moments, I hate the world, my mother, and even myself. My jaws are often clenched tightly during my meditation. My face turns into grimaces. You know, and he goes on and on. He says, the way I make sense of this is that is, in part, I'm integrating my dark side. Would you agree with this? Do you have any suggestions on soothe this anger over? Well, I'll just say this in general, Laurent. It's, if you listen to anything extremist, you know, for, and especially if you listen to it for long periods of time, what you'll find is you'll be taking on the energies of those individuals. Now, most extremists are based in fear, and I don't care what it is. If we're anti-Christian, anti-Muslim, anti-women, anti-men. If you take, you know, if you listen to Fox News all day long, or, you know, on the right-hand side, or you listen to Amy Goodman, you know, from Democracy Now on the left-hand side, you know, sometimes people call CNN, you know, the left. But, you know, if you ever listen to Democracy Now, free speech radio news, it's, you know, you'll hear the angry side of the left. And I'm not going to argue, you know, about which is true and which is not. But when we take a side, you step out of the truth. Because truth is inclusive. And so when you step into the inclusivity of the truth, you will feel a wholeness. You will feel a sense of love, a sense of unity with all of life. Now, if you choose a side, and I don't care which side it is, if you choose a side which is rooted in extremism, you will suffer. You will suffer. You know, there's Christians who went to church this morning, who went to extremist, fundamentalist Christian churches, and instead of experiencing the love of Christ, they experienced the division of the church, the division of the preacher. They experienced hatred and anger and sadness and heartache, turmoil, drama. And so oftentimes what happens is we may have a shadow within us. In order to integrate the shadow, we must be willing to shine the light of awareness into the shadow. Now, I assume at some point along your journey, you experience pain and rejection from women. And so when you started to watch these videos or whatever it was, and took this extremist perspective, it probably supported the part of you that felt rejected. It started to build it up. It made your anger feel justified. But we mustn't end here. If we want to integrate our shadow, we must be willing to let go of all extremism and see that there's something within us that's hurting. The only way we take on an extremist perspective is if we're hurting in one form or another. If we're lost in confusion, if we feel as if our side or our group has not been validated. You know, and again, I don't care if we're Al-Qaeda or ISIS or, you know, this army, this political system, this movement, that movement. If we have a wound that's unacknowledged and we're using extremism as a form of acknowledging our own pain, that cannot be the end of our journey. If it does, our journey will end with the experiences you're having: anger, sadness, rage, fear, violence. And so the invitation here is just to let this go, to let it all go. To breathe into the pain, to breathe into the aspect of your shadow that has felt rejected. To be like Christ and be the victim who forgives. When you're the victim who forgives, you actually become the victor. You become the victor. The beautiful thing about Christ is He was not a doormat. He was connected to the strength and the truth of His heart. He knew that He was one with God. And when we know we're one with God, we can't be rejected by anyone. We don't believe in the rejection. We don't suffer. When you know you're one with God and people turn their backs on you and do reject you in this real world, you don't suffer. You just see it as their loss. Or not the right time, not the right connection. You don't take it personally. You see that they're not ready for you, for your beauty and your divinity. And so healing comes through connecting with God, connecting with your God-given authority, your God-given truth, your true nature. And from this place of openness and love, you look at your human ego and you say, oh, look, there's something within me that's struggling. I'm going to breathe into it. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to choose not to reject my own nature. And so, yes, it's a beautiful question. Very humble for you to write something so personal. Okay. And so here's a question I have. Craig, I know you said that we should come into our hearts and that within the spiritual heart lies the truth, love and happiness. That's why Jesus is so important to me. Oh, good. Yet to be honest, I find it difficult to connect with my heart in everyday life. Instead, I see that there is an underlying laziness, and this laziness leads to thoughts of distraction. I feel a fear when I open to the unknown. And instead, I just hang out in the comfortability of self-doubt and rest in spiritual philosophies. Well, this is a very interesting question here. I think many people know this experience of not being connected with the heart, and instead hanging out in self-doubt. And you know, self-doubt, it's almost like a disease. And most of us, we learned it, you know, through our parents or through our culture, whether we grew up in a very scientific and materialistic culture that taught us to only believe in things which are solid, or whether we grew up in a house where we were always put last. And so if we grow up in a house where we're always put last, it's hard to believe there's a God. If we grew up in a world where we experience great suffering, it's easy to come to the conclusion that, well, there's no such thing as God, because if there was a God, he wouldn't allow for suffering. But unfortunately, you know, we all find ourselves in this world. I say that with a smile, unfortunately. We find ourselves in an evolutionary world. And in an evolutionary world, there is suffering. And so if you haven't embraced suffering, if you haven't embraced evolution, you will see your birth here as unfortunate. If you welcome evolution, if you welcome growth, if you're connected with your strength and your backbone, you see evolution as a beautiful thing. You see God growing into form, giving birth into form. Throughout, you know, all of earthly existence, you see God's intelligence, God's love, God's truth. But when you're born into a family where you kind of get beat up by life, or your parents don't have time for you, it's easy to doubt that there's a God. It's easy to doubt that there's anything good or true about this world, because most likely you don't feel safe, you don't feel held, you don't feel as if there's ground under your feet. And so to step forward with faith, to let go of doubt, I encourage you to open your heart, to experiment with God, to call upon her, to see for yourself, to see for yourself. And so one of the great experiments we can all do is we can just talk to God. We can open our hearts to God and say, Lord, you come into me. You show me. You show me that this world is good. You show me your beauty. But see, this very asks that you let go of your mind, and your mind is where self-doubt lives, by the way. And that you drop into your heart and you connect to God through your heart. And you be willing to be receptive. Receptive to God's grace. And if you're new to this practice, don't just try it once. Try it many, many times. Many times. Have faith. Call upon God. Call upon her. Say, Lord, come into me. I told this story sometime last year. And during World War II, there was these Army Air Corps pilots that were shot down, or their plane actually crashed over the Pacific, and they were on a lifeboat, you know, for it's like 48 days or something ridiculous. No food, no water. They were just catching water when it rained. And one of the one of the soldiers called out to God, and he said, "Lord, if you get me out of this, I will dedicate my life to you. I'll dedicate my life to you." And they had sharks every day that were circling the boat and bumping, you know, the bottom of the life raft. And, you know, there was Japanese planes that came by and shot, you know, something like 125 holes in it, and they didn't die somehow. They're in this little life raft. What was his name? His name was Louis something. And he called out to God. He said, "Lord, if you get me out of this." And so finally, after 48 days or however long it was, they found themselves on a little island that the Japanese were in charge of. And he was thrown into a prison camp and pretty much starved for a couple of years and tortured. And finally, one day, the camp was liberated. These soldiers were just skin, you know, they were just, you know, like walking skeletons. And because of all the pain and heartache he experienced, and PTSD, he became a raging alcoholic. Many years later, he heard the teachings of Jesus, and his heart opened up. Tears poured out of his eyes. And he said yes. Yes to God. He changed his life immediately. Pretty much changed overnight. Quit drinking. Changed his life. Dedicated his life to God. Very beautiful story. Terrible story. Now, he's an individual who could have easily doubted God. But he didn't think about God in a philosophical way. He simply opened his heart. He said, "I'm going to surrender my struggle. I'm going to let it go. I can't carry this burden any longer. I can't carry this pain, this heartache, this PTSD, my tortured heart, tortured body, tortured mind. I must surrender it." And in that surrender, he opened and received this love. The rest of his life, he was flooded with grace. Flooded with grace. And so to let go of self-doubt, you know, I like to experiment. You know, my teacher used to say to me, "The most important thing, Craig, is the direct experience of God. In you, as you. The most important thing is the direct experience of God. The direct experience of your own true nature. This is the most important thing." And so in order to experience what you are, you have to be open. You have to say no to the mind. You have to get tired with it. Now, you can play all you want with distraction, but what you'll find is what the Buddha said. It's inherently unsatisfactory. Unsatisfactory. Anything you chase, what you'll find is you'll be unsatisfied with it in the end. Now, in the beginning, when you get a new car and it's all shiny, yeah, that's exciting. You get a new job, it's exciting. You get a new boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, husband, wife, it's exciting. But in the end, everything is unsatisfactory, with the exception of your true nature and the experience of God. Because your true nature, everyone's true nature, is infinite. It grows into eternity. It opens into infinity. It's a love that has no end, a compassion that is infinite, a peace that is big as the universe. And so, yes, this is what we are opening to. Now, I will say this about distraction. Oftentimes, distraction has a secret motive. There's something we fear. And like you said it in the question, there's the fear of the unknown. And so if you want to know Christ, if you want to know yourself as Christ, if you want to open into the divinity of your own seven chakra centers, if you want to know what this experience of Kundalini arising is, if you want to know what true spiritual awakening is, you have to be willing to walk into the unknown. That's the price you must be willing to pay. But you have to remember, you're opening into God. Opening into glory and beauty and divinity. You're opening into wonder and truth. Be excited. Don't be afraid. Be excited. Excitement is simply the flip side of fear. Okay, it's a beautiful question, my friend. Okay, here's another question I received. Craig, there's been this question floating around in my head that you might speak on. There is spiritual growth through the recognition of being. You know, there's spiritual growth via the recognition of our true nature. Now, that's one thing. And then there is psychological growth via therapy and psychological processes. Do these two overlap? I've heard some say that psychological issues cannot withstand the dominance of being, of our true nature, and there is no ego for things to hold on to. And I heard you say something to the effect of do not give attention to thought or feeling. But a lot of psychotherapy seems to point to a feeling or invite feeling as a means of growth and deepening personal understanding. Okay, you know, how do these two worlds come together? Yes, and so this is, this is a beautiful question, and this is something that I struggled with, you know, quite early on. You know, I tried to meditate away my ego, but it just didn't work. It didn't work. And I don't care which teacher, you know, says this or that, that when you open to true nature, there's no ego. One of the things that happens when you open to true nature for the first time, what you're actually doing is temporarily transcending ego. The ego kind of falls away in the background, but it is not changed. It is not transformed. You know, some aspects of it truly fall away. But the core root of ego is much stronger than that. In fact, I'll even go on as far to say that every great saint, sage, master on the planet has some level of ego. Some level of it. It's healthy to have some level of ego. Ego is simply the response within you. The fight or flight response. If you step out into the traffic, you know, you're about to get hit by a bus. Your ego is what pulls you out of the way. It's a, jump back on the sidewalk. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. But can some of your ego dissolve when you open to true nature, when you awaken to it truly? Yes, absolutely. But normally it's after years and years of opening. When you truly open in the space of the mind, the space of the heart, and the space of the belly, huge chunks of ego fall away. It's very transformative. Very transformative. But I can also say this. Individuals who don't work on their shadow, who haven't done personal growth, who haven't taken a good hard look in the mirror and been honest about their psyche and their humanity, oftentimes they find themselves in great trouble, no matter how awake they are. No matter how awake they are. In fact, I'm going to invite everyone to view this documentary that I recently saw this last week. It's called Wild Country. It's on Netflix, if any of you have Netflix. And it's about the Osho community, the Bhagavan Rajneesh community, mostly about when it was here in the United States in Oregon, and all the trouble that the community got into. So much trouble, so much chaos. You know, it went on and on with, you know, so much pain and sorrow and sadness and heartache. There's even violence and purchasing military assault rifles, poisoning the local town, fighting with the local authorities, fighting with, you know, the federal authorities. And Rajneesh, he was quiet, lived in silence through most of it. And then when it was for many years, he was in silence. And then he came forward and he broke his silence to yell at one of his students because he was very pissed. So here was this, you know, so-called master. You know, I didn't study Rajneesh, but he was the so-called master. And he broke his silence because his ego was freaking out. And rightly so, because I think some of his students, you know, had tried to kill someone within the community and poisoned the local town. It's a very, very fascinating story of how bad things can go, even among a spiritual community. Now, that's a pretty wild spiritual community. There's another great documentary that was done by Conscious 2. This guy, this fellow named Alex Howard in England, he did a documentary called How I Created a Cult, and interviewed the non-dual teacher, Andrew Cohen. And again, it's also like a 6 or 7 part series. Goes really into depth of all the pain and tragedy that can happen if individuals don't do personal work. If teachers don't do their personal work, if students submit their authority, give all their power away, so much danger can happen if we don't spend a little bit of time in therapy, reading some self-help books, working with our shadow. Doesn't matter how awake you are. I know many great, great awakened teachers who, when I've met them personally, their lives are train wrecks, literally train wrecks. Wrought with scandal, sadness, depression, heartache, drug addiction, whatever. So is it necessary? Is it necessary to investigate our shadow, our wound, our personality? Absolutely. Absolutely. So beautiful question. Thank you all so much. Happy Easter to everyone. Thank you for joining me this evening. I want to thank everyone for the donations that they've offered in the last couple weeks. Very generous of you. You know, thank you. Let me see if I can remember some of them that came forward. James and Ivy. And thank you. Thank you all. If anyone's interested in making a donation, you can go to my website, craigholiday.com, and there's a PayPal link. There's also my address for those who like to send. And what you're doing is you're supporting these teachings. Supporting these teachings so that they will continue to bless others, to continue to bless this world. So thank you all so much for sharing your Easter with me. May peace be with you all. May all of your hearts be filled with love, with light, with happiness and joy. May your divinity go out and create great change, great love in this beautiful planet. Peace be with you all. Have a wonderful night. Good night.